Christians in the book of Acts were used by God to do extraordinary things for God today. I don't want that to be taken away from the church. I want it to be given back to us as the gift that we do exploits in the name of the Lord. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. And so thank God for the faithful people that are found in Hebrews chapter 11. There's that they did exploits. They're people of extraordinary faith. And so on the big screen, it says this: not one of them, not one of these people, even though their lives were exemplary. How many would recognize that Noah building a boat without any rain, without any water during that time is exemplary how he had faith? It's going to rain, guys. Well, what's rain? God's going to invent it, but it's going to happen, right, everybody? They got their hand on what was promised, which was Jesus. It was prophesied, the Savior's coming, the Messiah's coming. God had a better plan for us. That's you and me. Somebody say, you and me. That their faith and our faith would come together to make it completely whole. Their lives of faith would not be completely apart from. In other words, the working of their faith, Noah, the patriarchs of the Old Testament, and our faith come together and we form something very special. In the Bible, there's a continuous thought. There's never any chapter breaks. And so it goes along with Hebrews chapter 11. It flows to Hebrews chapter 12. On the big screen, it says this: therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of what? And these are the people of faith. These are the people that live by faith today. And life is difficult, they realize. So they said, throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you. And let us run with what? In other words, don't give up. We know that life's going to be tough. We faced our battles, and you're facing your battles. But there's this race marked out for you. We got the sermon series from a book of John Maxwell, and it's called Running with the Giants of Faith. And he took the premise of a crowd in a stadium where everybody's cheering us on, and go, 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 and you can hear the thunderous noise in a stadium. And you really don't hear an individual voice, a singular voice, but you hear the many voices. And what would it be like with this great cloud of faith, great cloud of witnesses, that if they were to come down from the grandstand and have a conversation with us and tell us, look, I have a different perspective on my earth time is done. I've done earth. I've done that stuff you're doing. And I want to come down and give you some advice. I want to tell you, this is the way, because I'm already in heaven, but I'm coming down to talk to you. They would have a different perspective because they've already done it, right? They've already bought the t-shirt that you have. They've already done it. So they're coming around and they're going to do a lap with you on your race today. You're not going to outrun them. They're going to jog alongside of you, amen? And they're going to tell you, this is how you finish well. This is what you do during the times that are tough. Aren't you glad today that they would come advise us today? There's this holy ancestry today that teaches us on how to live better that you have within you. All of us have a DNA in our lives, and we search back. Well, I must be part this or part that. That's why I get angry so much. No, you're human. That's why you get angry so much. And this amazing thing happens when we say, well, what's in my DNA? Well, can I tell you, beloved, you have a holy DNA within you. You have champions within you today. It's come together today. You have the royal blood of heaven flowing within you today. I want you to dream on. Before your dream can be grasped today, there's this waiting period. There's this time of resolve that I'm going to keep pursuing what God has for my life today. I'm not giving up today. The thing about God, sometimes he makes us wait and wait and wait. We think it's a long time, but God is doing something within our lives as we wait. I thank God for it today. The dilemma is, are you going to give up? Are you going to go on today? And I pray that you would go on with your journey with God. Amen. Do I have any agreement in the house today, right? Almost half of the book of Genesis is taken up by our next character, which is Joseph. They write a lot about him because he was a type of Christ. He was an Old Testament picture of what Jesus would be like with a lot of things that he experienced today. He's the 11th son of Jacob. And Jacob was a son of Isaac, and Isaac was a son of Abraham. And Jacob has these 10 sons, and he has the baby boy named Joseph. Well, that's his favorite. Who's the baby in the family in this room today? Don't raise your hand. Okay, you raise your hand because you know who you are. And isn't it sometimes the baby's always usually sometimes the favorite, right? Number one son, number one daughter, and they get away with murder. Well, Jacob was so dysfunctional that he made this coat for the baby boy named Joseph. And it was a coat of many colors. It was a distinctive coat. And he put it on, and it was a type. None of the other 10 had this coat, but he had the coat. And he showed it off. And so number one son already begins this rivalry. And there's this inability that they have in their lives as these 10 brothers to say a kind word to him. They hate him. And the Bible tells us that. And so there's this attitude that Joseph already has that he's suffering along. He's probably getting punched in the dark, you know, when he goes to sleep and nobody knows that. Who punched me? Well, it was one of the 10, right? It was Reuben. Reuben, did you hit me? No. Simeon, did you punch? So for the dream of God comes to Joseph about greatness in his life, but it takes 23 years from that point A to point B. And there's a whole lot of bumps in between today. I want to dedicate this sermon to the people in this room that you think, my life isn't the way I thought it was going to be, the way that I had planned it, the way I thought God had planned my life. It's not going that way. Can you imagine being Joseph and being in that family, and there's full of jealousy and envy in his life over and over because of his position? When your life isn't turning out the way that you planned it today, I want to again give you the heart of God. Maybe you're emotionally drained in this room. You're physically drained today. Maybe there's something going on about the plan that you thought about your health, about your marriage that you thought would be better, your job would be better. You're ready to check out on it today. God is saying, wait, hold up today. When your life isn't turning out the way that you planned it today, I want to announce, don't give up on God's dream for your life within you. All of us have days in this room, all of us, because we're human. There will be at least one life-altering circumstance in everyone's life in this room. Are you positive? Come on, Pastor, give me some good news. I'm positive that there's going to be one. I'm a positive preacher here today. I'm a positive. There's going to be something that comes into one or two things. I hope it's not two, because some of it, man, I've already had three, Pastor. It's right now. There's at least one thing that will come into everyone's atmosphere, everyone's heart today, that will want to break you and cause you to give up. And it's that resolve. I'm going to give up, or I'm going to go on today. Right, everybody? You might think that pastors never have a bad day. Pastors are some pretty messed up people. I did some research, and I've learned about pastors being a pastor, and because I want to be continually, I want to go on, and I want to make it today. But as I read some stats, those that took the survey, pastors are very discouraged. About 90% of pastors want to quit. Every Monday, they want to quit. Things didn't work out, you know. Why is it that a church member will always leave at the end of the service? They'll tell me that they're leaving the church at the end of a Sunday morning service. Would y'all do that on a Monday? Would that be okay? Let's change that tradition. Give me a phone call on Wednesday. One guy's nodding like I'm getting ready to do it. They say that 95% of pastors don't have a close friend to talk to. Isn't that something? A pretty messed up bunch, aren't we? I want to announce, I'm in the stats sometimes, but I'm not in the stats because I have a close friend to talk to. Not only my wife, but I have friends because I've been intentionally in a small group for over a decade because I want to make it. And I have close friends that are my peers that they can relate to me and they can pray with me. They may not have the answer, but just like you, they'll say, hey, I know what it is to go through that exact same thing. And they can hold me up. And so you need friends like that. You need to make yourself vulnerable to go in a small group is what it's about today. So I've been in pastoral care since I was like 16 years old. Did you know that? I didn't always get paid, but my pastor put me in charge of these third graders that were in my children's church. And so I pastored them for him. I took care of, they pastored me for a while. They ran me. They were kids from the West Side, those West Side kids, right? But they taught, and if it wouldn't have been for that foundation of me being in a classroom with a bunch of third graders or children's church, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Amen. And so the great dream of God, what happens when it goes the opposite direction today? Amen. Joseph knows what you're going through. I'm going to make this very easy for you today. I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so you can grab them today. Amen. I'm going to make sure that you know so you can apply this when you walk out of here and you might say, well, right now I'm not going through anything tough. Well, I promise you, take notes because you will go through something tough. If it ain't today, it's tomorrow, right? Everything's cool a year ago, but you're facing a new season, right, everybody? Yes. Let's do it with the Lord, right? Genesis 37 in your devices or on your screen today. We look at it today or in your Bible. Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers about the dream, look at this. They hated him all the more. They already hate you level one, but they're going to hate you now even more because you told them this dream, this whack dream that you got. How many of you are like Nava? You already hate somebody, but when they do that one extra thing, you're not Christian here like me, okay? You hate somebody already, and you hate them, but then they tell you that, and you hate them accelerated. You're smiling at me for a reason, right? Pastor, I came to church. Come on, you know how I am. I'm holy on Sunday. I can't say amen to that. Well, be like me then, amen? Say, oh, not amen, oh me, amen, oh no, amen. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves. Number one son, wearing the decked out coat, looking good. Look at me, guys. I was binding these sheaves out of grain in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine. And get this, guys, they bowed down to mine. What do y'all think of that? And they probably said, you know, we're going to kill this guy. And then it goes on to say, because they conspired in between verse 7 and 19, and it gets to 19, and they're saying, how can we get rid of this guy with his coat, you know? And they hear that Reuben, Simeon, you know, they're gathered, and they, here comes the dreamer. They said to each other, here he comes, daddy's favorite. Come now, let's kill him. Whoa, what? They're not going to beat him up. They're going to what? Yeah, and so that's hatred. Big, let's throw him into one of these cisterns, which is a pit, and say a ferocious animal devoured him. And then let's see what comes of his coat of many colors, his dream. And Joseph heard from God, and it took the opposite direction. How is it when you hear from God? He heard from God. This is what was going to happen, but the dream didn't happen. I want to give you three principles if you feel like giving up today on what to do about your dream and why not to give up on your God-given dream. Number one is this. Don't give up on your dreams. Number one, even if it didn't what? Yeah, everyone has a story in this room today of adversity in their lives. You may have had an adverse beginning, but all of us, just like the graduates, there's new beginnings for all of us in this room. Most of us didn't start well like Nava. All of us will go through that life-changing event in our lives, but we always come out of those events, and we must even announce in the worst of days, this is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. It's a challenging time. It's a time of heartbreak. But you still arrive and say, this is a day the Lord has made, and I will. And sometimes you got to say it with tears in your eyes. And sometimes you got to say it with great heartbreak over that individual in your life that you're hurting with, or you're hurting yourself. Sometimes you got to say it outside the doctor's office. Do I have any witnesses in this room today? Amen. Sometimes you have to say it after the argument, after you're heartbroken. But you keep saying it because God is still in the valley. Amen. Just as much on the mountaintop. Your potential is not your future. Your past resume is not there. Stop defining your future by what you're looking at in your rearview mirror over and over in your life today. Amen. The enemy is an accuser. And he'll come at you and he'll say, you know what? You got a past. And I'm going to remind you of that past. And that's why he's your enemy. Because he's not supposed to take root in your life today. And God is whispering, which is the right whisper that you need to say, it's finished. That's yesterday. It's done. You have a new beginning now. I brought the healing into your life today. There's this funny story I heard about a pet shop. And this guy goes in there on a regular basis. And he goes in there, and this first time he's seen it, this pet, new pet, it's this parrot that can talk. And the parrot is in there, kind of a smart aleck parrot, and he sees this customer that's repetitive, but goes in there and goes, "Hey, come here." The parrot says, "Come here." So the guy goes over to the parrot. He goes, parrot tells him, "You the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and get out of my face because you're so ugly." I go, "Wow, what a mean parrot." He walks away. Guy gets his stuff, you know, for his pets, and he's checking it out. And the owner says, "Everything okay, sir?" "No, not really." He said, "That parrot that you got insulted me. Told me I was ugly. Told me a couple of other things I can't mention to you." He said, "You know." So when the guy leaves, he goes up to the parrot, the owner, and he goes, "Hey, stop that. You need to stop that. Behave. Listening to me?" "Yes, sir." So anyway, so the next week, the guy comes in there, parrot waiting for that guy almost, and saying, "You know, hey, come here." He goes, "Yeah, what?" He goes, "You the ugliest thing I've ever seen, and you've gotten uglier since last week." So again, scanning his stuff, and the pet shop owner says, "Everything okay?" "No, that parrot's still like abusing me and telling me all this stuff." He says, "Okay, thank you, sir, for telling me. We're going to take care of that." So the guy leaves, and he goes up to the parrot, slaps him on the beak. He goes, "You know what? I'm going to feed you to the cats we got over here, and if you don't stop behaving that way, because you're running customers off, and I can't have that. You behave, or you go to the parrot cage, or you go to the cat cage." So next week, like timing, that guy comes in, same thing. Parrot says, "Hey, come here." And the guy says, "What?" He says, "You know what?" And I think that's the job of the enemy, the devil, Satan. He'll come at you and go, "You know what?" He says, "I'm not going to even say anything, but because you know your past. You know how it was." If there ever was anyone in the Bible that had an awful past that the enemy kept reminding of, it was this guy named Saul of Tarsus that was that because what he was. And then God gives him this name, Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote half of the New Testament, and he had this bad past of killing Christians, executing them by his word. He was a bad dude that had this awful past. But how many know the Bible is full of people that have bad history? Bad past, yeah. And people that are full of that. And I found the Passion Translation, which is this great version. And it says in 1 Timothy 1:12, listen to the Passion Translation. "My heart spills over with thanks to God, for He is the way that it continually empowers me." Amen. In other words, God's been good to me, right? And to our Lord, the Anointed One, who's found me trustworthy and has authorized me to be His partner in ministry. God just hooked me up. And He gave me a partnership with Him. Isn't that incredible that God would do that? Listen to this next verse, which is, "Mercy kissed me." I love that translation, right? "Even though I used to be a what?" Yeah, that's those people that don't go to heaven, right? But apparently He asked for forgiveness and He got saved. He goes on to give a little bit of light about blasphemy here. And the persecutor of believers. And it's what I scorned. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not God. What I scorned turned out to be what? Uh-huh, yeah, there it is. It was true all along. I was ignorant, and I did not know what I was doing. Aren't you glad during that time that you were ignorant before you received Christ? I'm sure I'm glad I did some things that I didn't know Jesus, and God forgave me. How about you, yeah? God gave him a clean slate. And God gives you a clean slate today if you're in Him today. If you're in Christ, yes, He does. So stop listening to the devil today, right? Can I get a 5-second praise break just for that? Yeah, we're not going to listen to the enemy. Yeah, we're going to listen to God. Amen. The lies of the devil are still lies today. Amen. Don't give up even if it didn't start well today. Focus on what's happening in you, not to you today. There's a spiritual principle. I'll save you about 5 years right now if you focus on what's happening in you, not to you on the outside, because many of us pray this Nava prayer. God, please make it stop. let it end. It should be over by now. And God, my prayer should be this, the correct way. I'm going to take notes on me. God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What am I supposed to learn as I sit at your feet quietly? God, not, Lord, let the pain go away. No, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? I've cried with family in this room, my church family, over tremendous trials and heartbreaks that would have broken anybody normal. But I look at you and I go, man, you guys are made of a different way, if I could, don't know the word to say, but you're just a different cut. You're above it today. You're not above it. You go through it and you keep going through. You're an amazing people. I'm just reminding you, beloved, of what you've gone through and what you will continually. It didn't break you, so you're still going through. You're going to make it today, right, everybody? Because we're focusing in, not on the outside. I'm just lovingly reminding. Focus what's on. God, teach me something. There's a scripture in Peter. And it speaks of that if you burn that metal, the dross will come off of it and it'll be turned into gold. It'll be turned into a fine silver or something precious. But it has to burn first. It has to get real hot. You go through the fire. Now, I'm on a good salary, but I've never burned metal because I don't have that sort of bank. But I boiled some potatoes. Give me a good amen. And I boiled some leg quarters. Give me a good amen. And when you boil that, have you noticed all that mugre rises to the top? That, what is that? I should have washed this chicken off a little bit better with some Dawn. I scrubbed it or something. Because when you boil things like potatoes, this stuff rises to the top. And it comes out good as a potato salad would, or that chicken that you're going to make. But it has to get hot first. The dross needs to come up, so you scrape that off. And then you get to taste the good potato salad, right, everybody? Amen. And the same thing with our lives. You're not pure until you get boiled a little bit, until you go through the fire. Impurity happens in your life. James chapter 1 on the big screen, not on your handout, I believe. Consider it what? Did I have that one, Jonathan? Yeah. Consider it pure joy. You, all right, I'm going through the trial of my life. Woo, I want another one. No, you don't say that. But James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, my sisters, whenever you face a trial of many kind, because this is why you should have joy, because the testing of your faith develops. You're going to go on. You're not going to give up. You're going to go on today. Amen. We get. James is saying, don't give up. Joseph saying, don't quit. I'm upset with God because this happened. I'm upset with the pastor. I'm upset with the church. You play the blame game, and I'm blaming the government. I'm blaming my parents. I'm blaming my boss. And it's this, God, what is it that you want me to learn? Because I want my faith to develop that perseverance today. The second thought is this, don't give up on your God-given dream, because even when those that are close to you don't support you today, negative feedback's coming at you and you're exhausted from the rejection today in this room today. In this room today, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. But in this room today, just kind of wink at me, because some of you might be sitting next to that person right now. And so go like this. If this is true, you're in this room and you were told that you weren't going to make it. By those closest to you. Your marriage wasn't going to make it. You weren't going to make it. Your future. Why is it that those that are close to us hurt us the most? I don't know, man. I'd rather get hurt by the cashier at JCPenney's than my own family. But things happen in our family because we love them and they wound us. And Jesus had that dilemma too. There was this one point in Jesus' ministry. He was trying to do miracles, and they pulled him out, his own family, and said, he's kind of beside himself. He's lost his mind. Just let's get him out of here. And Jesus had to rebuke them. He says in Mark chapter 6 about his dilemma, about those that are close to him but don't support him. So join the crowd if it happened to Jesus. They said this, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? Aren't those his sisters? Man, he had some sisters. Jesus had some sisters with him, right? Here with us. And they took offense at him. And Jesus said this, listen to this, only in his hometown, he's a hometown boy, among his relatives, among his own house is a prophet without what? Joseph is a type in the Old Testament of a New Testament Jesus, and he's experiencing the rejection of his own family. It looks real good when we teach this story in Sunday school because we put the figures and we make it show up and we show the cool video and the VeggieTale, but it wasn't that pretty. You know, this is human trafficking. This is slavery. They sold him into slavery. There's abuse that happens at the hand of his brothers. Your dreams cannot be defeated if they're from God by even your family. Did you know that today? I love that. Amen. Your response to the offense will determine your future. How you're offended and how you respond to that offense will determine your future. Joseph becomes the prime minister of Egypt. I'm fast forwarding 23 years, and he looks different. He's older. How many look like you did 23 years ago? Don't lie. You have that Facebook picture up there when you were in high school, and you don't look like that anymore. Take that thing off. Take a real picture. Amen. Take it like that, because it's supposed to look better when you look like that. There's a different angle in Cockett. I've learned that on Instagram. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Let me show you how it's done, right? Keep your eye, right, everybody? So Joseph's looking different. He's 23 years older. He's wearing the makeup of Egypt because they wore makeup. We didn't invent it for the guys in this century. And he's wearing the Egyptian garb. And he has his brothers before him. The brothers now are in Egypt because there's a worldwide famine that Joseph prophesied that was going to take place. And they saved in Egypt, and they stored. And Joseph knew that if he did what God told him to do, he would save his nation and save his family. And so he has all the grain, and he's selling it to the communities, and he's storing it up. And his brothers are coming towards him now. They're traveling light now. They ain't got too, I mean, the pockets are empty. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you. They're in that picture. They're tired. They've walked a long way. And they're before Joseph, and they realize when Joseph takes off the garb and takes off the mask, he said, I'm Joseph, the one that you sold. And they begin to shake in their boots, man. And the first words out of their mouth aren't, I'm glad it was you, manito. I didn't recognize you. How are you doing, bro? No, they said, don't kill us. They're scared. And Joseph tells them this lovingly. Are y'all still with me in Genesis 50? It says this, Genesis 50, 19. Joseph replied, do not be afraid. Do I act for God? In other words, vengeance is the Lord, right? God's taking vengeance. It's not mine to take. Don't you see what you planned against me? The evil that you did? I love that Joseph didn't romanticize that he had been done wrong by his brothers. No, you did evil to me. The evil that you meant, that's true. But the greatest truth is what happened, God turned it around and made it good. Same thing that happened in your life today. God's not a respecter of person. But God used the same plans for my good. And all around you right now, look at how people are being fed, how people are being given life now. There's this famine going on. But look what God has done. The life of many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. They're still shaking. Come on, man. Don't hurt us. Look at this. I'll take care of you and your children. And he reassured them, speaking to them heart to. Nothing like a conversation with somebody. The barriers are down. We've argued too much. We've fought too much. We've held the grudge too much. Let's let it come down. Let's talk. And God is that way. Again, he wants you to come to him. A human being is that way today that you want relationship with, that you deserve that today. You deserve that your families are restored. It's God's will today that you come back together again. Amen. They may have walked all over you. You're wise to that now. You're not going to get walked on anymore, but you still love. And I pray that there's redemption. Maybe it won't be possible this side of heaven. I pray that it is. But you fight for redemption like Jesus fought for you. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Amen. Every Christian should be able to oversee, should see the overruling hand of God in their lives, that God is going to turn this thing around in my life because God has promised good to me. Amen. No matter how bad it is right now, God's hand is ruling. And it's across the desk of God that this thing happened. God allowed it to happen. God may have, it's not God's will, but God's going to see me through this thing right now. Right, everybody? Walk through the process of forgiveness so God is in your future today. Finally, this third one today. I don't want you to, after you get this final blank, don't move around too much. Stay with me, right, everybody? Even though it takes a long time to realize it, don't give up on God's given dream in your life, even if it takes a long time to realize it. What I noticed about the Lord is this, that God is not in a hurry. God does crockpot ministry, and I want microwave ministry. And if you want that popcorn that's in the microwave, go at it. If you want that day-old pizza, two-day-old pizza, put it in the microwave. See how chewy it tastes after 2 days, right? But if you want something good, God does the crockpot. And that's why the brisket is so tender, because God does slow and low. Give me a good amen. And I love the stew. I love what happens in a crock pot. The dream of God for your life is never point A to point B. It's a journey. Amen. You want results now, 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 now. I want it now. But God says, no, there's this process. Yesterday we did a recommitment of vows, and it was a 10-year recommitment. And during that 10 years from point A, man, I thought I hadn't aged until I saw the picture from 10 years ago. And I thought nothing, but when I counted what had happened to that precious couple in 10 years, there was a journey there. It wasn't always A, B, and happily ever after, just like it wasn't in your marriage 10 years, right? Hey, boy, it's quiet because y'all are perfect, right? There's a journey. And in my life in 10 years, there's not been point A to point B. There's been sickness. There's been trial. There's been adversity. There's been, God, are we going to make it? And God has still been good, right? Look at us now. Give me a good amen. Look what God has done. Amen. There's key events in Joseph's life that I want you to go on. And I have to think, if I put myself in this situation, how Joe must have felt to give up. And so let's review key life events in his life as we look at the big screen today. They're not in your notes, but these are just a synopsis of his life quickly. When he was misunderstood by his family, there's the dreamer. He was sold as a slave. That's a heartbreaking situation by your own family, right? Yes? Y'all help me with the hard ones. Say amen. Talk back at me. Living far from home, that could cause some homesickness. And he didn't go away from college. He was in a foreign land, sold as a slave. He's given favor by Potter's house. Hey, there's a plus there. He's prospering. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. She was the first housewife of New York, no, of Egypt. Amen. And she dressed that way. And anyway, he's falsely accused. That's heartbreaking. Hey, I didn't do it, but he was thrown into prison. Show me the next couple of slides. We're going to go back in a moment. He was put in charge of all the prisoners. That's favor of God, right? Amen. But he's forgotten by the chief cupbearer. Hey, I interpreted a dream. Remember me. And he didn't. He remained in prison 2 years longer. Yeah, and that was tough. It's a long time to be in prison. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Yeah, that's a good thing. God spoke to him. And then he becomes second in command of Egypt, command of Egypt. Now, I want to go back to the beginning. Jonathan, if you can help me with that, can you go back to that first slide, that one with the beginning of a misunderstood by his family? Go back. Yeah, there it is. Perfect. Now, I want you to help me with this. I want you to either say, give up or go on. Now, give up means, man, you want to give up because we're all human. I'm sure Joe felt like this. Joseph felt like this, like he wanted to give up, right? So you help me with the ones that you felt he wanted to give up. But the sweet ones are the sweet man, that cherry in the Sonic cherry lemonade, cherry limeade that I like, amen, that makes your pants tighter after you drink it, amen. because you have you're 50 something like I am. Amen. When the cherry is that you go on, right, everybody? So when I go up to them and I announce them, you say either give up or go on, right? You know which ones to say give up on and which ones to go on. Misunderstood by his family. Oh, yeah, you even said it like you want to give up. Amen. The sermon, amen. Sold as a slave. Come on, y'all help me out a little bit stronger because we're going to get to the go on in a moment, but notice all the give ups. Living far from home. Yeah. Given favor by Potiphar's house. Go on, amen. Don't let it trick you, amen, but you know, don't say give up for all of them. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. It stinks, man, to be falsely accused by that lady, right, everybody? Thrown into prison. Charged, put in charge of all the prisoners. Yeah, right, everybody? Forgotten by the chief cupbearer. Give up. Remained in prison 2 years longer. Man, that stinks, man. I want to give up. Interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Yeah, that's God, right? God gave me the understanding. Become second in command. Go on. Have you noticed that there are twice as many give ups as there were go ons? And our life won't be any different. As much as I want to say the blood of Jesus covers everything, you're going to come to the intersection of just saying, am I going to give up on this thing, or am I going to keep believing in Jesus and keep believing that he's my Redeemer? And if you do that, amen, the dream of God will go on in your life today. Even in the darkest times when he was in prison, there's this narrative in the Bible that's so precious. It's God's tenderness. It says that Joseph was forgotten by the chief cupbearer, that he didn't go mention his name to the king. And he's in prison, probably cleaning after prisoners, and they didn't have mops back then, so he's picking up waste and the mess of a prison in those days. And it says that the Lord was still with Joseph, that God was still with Joseph during the darkest time. That's when God shows up. It's great during praise and worship. It's great during a great sermon, not like this one, but the one last week, because I can see your faces. It's great. But God shows up in that midnight hour when you're waiting. God, what am I going to do? And God was still with Joseph. And God is still with you today. I want to challenge you to live the dream of God for your life today. Young people in this room, stay pure. Fight for your purity. If you're in ministry today with me in this room, build the church with me. We still have many years, and you're in ministry with me. Me in ministry? You're in ministry. Do ministry with me today. The devil, when he looks at you, you know what he's going to say when you wake up tomorrow? Oh, no, they're awake again. They're going to go back at it again because you're not going to give up today. Don't give up today on the dream of God for your life today. When Joseph is in prison for 2 years, how could he look at, this is going to end good for me? They've forgotten about me. How do you stay encouraged during the times when it's not happy? How do you do it? The favor of God was still on Joseph, even in prison. That's where Habakkuk, the prophet of the Old Testament, and the Message Bible, it's in your handout. You know, you guys haven't had any fun all day. Would you mind reading with me today? Could you read the Bible? Is that okay still to do in church? Can we read the Bible in church? Am I looking at the right people? Because y'all are looking at me. You're either going to look at the screen or look at your notes, right, everybody? And we're going to read together. Can we still read the Bible, everybody, in church? Because I love y'all, and I love to read the Bible. Is that okay that we do that in church? Until I get 100%, I'll keep preaching the same message. Can we read the Bible in church? No. Amen. Finally, amen. We want to get out of here, though, because the thing's cooking in the crock pot, but it's going to burn it. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, on three, one, two, three, go. And then God answers, write this, write what you see. The vision, it aches for the coming. Yeah, some of y'all had two paragraphs. I'm sorry. Amen. It will come at the right time. The process is the character development of God in his laboratory. that he, well, am I a mom? No, God just does stuff slow, and he does it waiting, and thank God for his timing is always perfect. Our time is not today. I believe the final words of encouragement from Joseph, and this is, I believe, just a holy moment. Please, no one moving around, and let's just wait on the Lord during this time. You wrote the last blank. Just be real still. Could I have this light kind of down a little bit, Jonathan? This light right here, this one, just to just bring it a little bit lower. Thank you, sir. Every dream of God, if Joseph were to tell us one more thing, every dream of God has tough times. But remember, God is the one that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God is always with you. And you might not feel it during the toughest time, like what's going to become of me, what is going to happen, but God is with you. I know it. Amen. And you know it right now as I speak it. Let be assured right now that God is with you right now. In Psalms 139, not in your handout, as I read it to you, make it a prayer in your life as you hear it. God is speaking, and God is speaking to you. And it's like the one that is going through the trial is saying, what about this? What if this happens? And God is giving them the answer. What if I get diagnosed with this? What if they do this to me at my job? What if the layoffs really happen? What if this happens to our country? This is what God would. If I go up to heaven, God says, you will be there. God will be there, right? If I go to the place of death, God will be there, right? Even there is no darkness in God. At the very darkest place of our lives, God is still there. If I go to the east where the sun rises and go to live in the west beyond the sea, even there you will take me by my hand and you will lead me. God is there leading you, right? Yeah. God, it's unknown. You're taking me into waters I've never been into. But Lord, you're leading me and you have the, yes, sir, I'm going. Yes, my Lord, you're leading me. I will follow where you lead me today, right? This final one, if you look at it, if you show me the final slide, and I thought you were seeing it, one more slide. The last verse right there, your strong right hand will protect me. At the wedding yesterday, at the recommitment of vows, we extended our right hand towards the couple because we announced that the strong right hand of the inheritance, the king's hand, the hand that brought the inheritance, usually was the right hand. They were righties, not lefties there, but that's okay if you're a lefty. But it was their hand that would put on their firstborn, and they would give them all the inheritance. I blessed this one. And today, the strong right hand of the Lord protects you today. It's the hand of God that's on your life. It protects you. How many know all of the children of God are his favorite now? Not one of us in this room are the second born, the redheaded stepchild. No, not one of us. We're all God's adopted children, and all of us are his favorite. The strong right hand of God is upon us today, and the promises of God. And we bow before you, Lord, our eyes and our head. Let's pray. We bow before you, Lord, our eyes. We bow our heads, and we close our eyes right now at this moment. Encourage every heart, Lord. Would you do something with me? Would you open your hands above your lap, everyone in the house right now, if you need encouragement right now? Just open your hands above your lap. Father, this is my brother and sister. I want the best for them, Lord. Like I want my sister, my own flesh and blood sister, to have a good marriage, my brother to have a good. So I want my brother and sister. This is my church family. These are my people, Father. These are the people I walk with, Father, my spiritual walk. This is my church family. I want you to bless them, Lord. I want their finances to be blessed. I want you, Lord, I want you to answer them when they pray, when they cry out to you. I want their relationships to be good. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. I break every stronghold of remembrance that's not of God in their lives right now. discouragement leave in the name of Jesus. Suicide, you thoughts of suicide, you have no power over my brother's life right now. You're going to make it. You're going to go on. Your best days are yet ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I pray that the faith that they have would develop that perseverance in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're hearing from God in this moment. God is speaking to you. As you stand in an attitude of prayer, no one looking around, I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. And you're here this morning and you feel like there's a barrier between you and God. That one person told me one time, it feels like my prayers just get to the ceiling and they come back down. And God's not hearing me. And that's could be a number of things, but could it be that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus? Could it be if you're feeling that way, that barrier that you feel? See, Jesus destroyed every barrier on the cross when he died for your sins. The barrier was broken. All you have to do is surrender to him. Say yes to Christ today. He's the Savior. All that call upon the name of the Lord, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved today. You're far away from God in this room today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand is slightly lifted. If that's you in this room, you're saying, that's me, pray. I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll lead from the platform. You'll pray right where you're at today. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me. I'm far away from God. I need to come close to Jesus. You're saying yes to the Lord today. If anybody's in this house today doing that, yes, just making sure. Father, apparently the saints of God are in this room and everyone is saved. We've done Ephesians, God. We've equipped the saints for ministry. They're going to take something with them today that they can do ministry on Monday. They can live the rest of the week and look at these notes, Lord, and thank God for it today. Those on Facebook, if you receive Christ, you just ask Christ into your heart today. You receive Jesus as your Savior. Hit me up there on a comment. Say, I receive Christ, and I'll pray for you today. Don't be ashamed to do that. Follow Jesus today, even on Facebook today. Thank you, Lord. And I declare over this congregation and over the audience right now, on the internet right now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Thank God for the peace of God. Let's celebrate the word of God today. Come on. May the word of the Lord be exalted. Do you receive it today? Do you receive the word of God? Amen. We receive gladly the word of God today. Yes. By faith today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, today. Amen. Amen. We're going to receive our tithe and offering. You know our band. Amen. I get caught up and out of my mind here today. So we're receiving our worship team as they come to the platform. They're going to lead us in a song of worship. There's a couple of ways to give at Living Faith Church. And I love that slide because they made it cool. Amen. Not that's about giving, but just thank God for what we're able to do as a people today. You can give online. You can give by text to give. You can give by check, cash, and do it that way too. So we hold our tithe in our hand. We hold our giving in our hand today, and I thought I had it in my pocket. Amen. What happened? We hold it in our hand. If you hold your device in your hand, let's pray for it today before you come up. Amen today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We hold our tithe in our hand. We hold our giving in our hand. Thank you, Lord, for the gift and the giver. I thank you for the generosity of God's people in this room. And thank you for the sons and daughters, Lord. Bless them, Lord. We're reaching a community because of generosity. We're supporting missions all across the globe, Lord. Who would have thought, God, that in 1998, when we began in a living room, God, that was a rented home, that you would have done something. This is marvelous in the Lord's eyes, and God has done this. And so, Lord, we take note of it right now, that you've been great to us, God, and you deserve all the praise and all the honor, Lord. You're greatly to be praised in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God's been good to us. Amen, everybody. God bless you as you give. Amen. We stand to our feet and we'll worship God in our giving today.
What a wonderful name it is.